Mark Vandermeer is in, brought to you by Mattress Firm. We're 6 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. Mark, did Brian Gain make a move that could be a draft predictor?
Well, I'm thinking about this, guys. Remember during the season, he traded for Demaryius Thomas, right? And this was interesting because that was a pretty big move at the time.
It was. You know, I was excited about it. These guys are for real.
Didn't work out the way you wanted. He got hurt, whatever. The Patriots have signed Thomas since. And, you know, far be it for the Patriots to take a flyer on a receiver. I mean, they've done this so many times. You know, Johnny went over their draft history at receiver, by the way. It's not good.
Yes.
You know, the Brady Belichick era.
Why draft? They still got Josh Gordon in the holster.
I mean, they've obviously done really well with Edelman, and they've done well with pickups and Wes Welker. Why did the Dolphins ever trade Wes Welker to the Patriots? What are they, stupid?
Yes.
Like, well, let's see now. We like Welker, but they want him, so give him to him. Good idea.
But also, Welker would have had a nice career of like 45 catches a year. You know, it wasn't. I'm not saying that he wasn't good. It's just that he wouldn't have been used as well.
If I'm trade, especially within the division, it's like making a trade with Daryl Morey. It's like, well, Daryl wants this guy. Like, is this a good idea for us to do this? To trade somebody to Daryl Morey? You know, you just don't do it.
Especially when he had a really good game against them before he was traded to said team.
So the Demaryius Thomas...
For a second rounder and a seventh rounder.
Yes.
Well, so that's a pretty big price.
The Demaryius Thomas trade for the fourth round pick back in October.
Yeah, I think that what this says is that... I'm trying to read between the lines of receiver. Obviously, they were banged up at receiver with Fuller out for the season and QT slow to come back from hamstring. So they wanted to fortify there. What does it say about receiver in this year's draft? And what does it say about Gain? We don't really have much of a track record here of him making these decisions. Is there a big trade, like just trade, coming up in this draft with these first four picks that they have? Are they going to move around? You know, what do you guys think?
Well,
what's the likelihood of him moving up or down or anywhere? Or he said yesterday, yeah, we could, you know, we're going to get some good players. I mean, there's no question about it.
I think that. The way that defensive backs are right now, I believe Brian Gain when he says that he thinks there's going to be good guys available in the second round.
Right.
I think that'll be true. With offensive tackles, I'm not so sure. I think there are a few guys at the top and then another tier of offensive tackles that you feel good about and you think they can be solid pros, but I'm not so sure that he wouldn't be willing to trade up a few spots for Andre Dillard or at least stand pat. But beyond that, I think that his general philosophy, and he's very transparent about it, is the philosophy that most of the analytics people would tell you is it's always best to trade back out of your first round pick because the more chances you have, the more picks you have,
right,
the better chance you have of getting one right.
It's a numbers game at that point. Really.
But then you also wonder, okay, now that so many people are starting to feel that and believe that, is it getting to the point where maybe it's not as big of an advantage to trade back?
Well, you just
like, when everybody's trying to trade back,
right,
then yeah, you're not getting as much by trade back.
So many teams want picks. They want to stockpile players. You get the advantage of having first contracts and all of that. So is the value there? But if one of the quarterbacks falls and somebody didn't get their quarterback or something like that, is there going to be a situation where he finds that attractive? And I think that his willingness to make the deal during the season does say that there could be a move. Like, he's not going to be shy about it, in other words. We just don't have – we haven't seen him do this a lot as the lead guy. So I'm eager to see what he does with his second draft, especially now that he's got picks early in the draft.
I think trading up is like a 5% chance. It really, someone's going to have to slide, and that might even be high. I think trading back, I almost think it's more than 50%.
First round, but later, you mean?
Right.
Not first round.
Oh, I mean, I think they could trade out of the first round entirely. I could see them trading back like 5 picks. I could see them trading back 10 picks, getting a couple of extra picks.
I've always struggled with the idea of talking on sports talk radio about trading back because you never have any clue like what would lead to that because you don't know what their board is. And I can look the easiest way to trade back would be like, hey, if the top four tackles were off the board, Taylor, Dillard, Williams, and Cody Ford.
I would even say the top three. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm not that high on Cody Ford, but okay.
Okay, fair enough.
But
so
I got you. I
know
what you're saying. Like Juwan Taylor, Andre Dillard, and Jonah Williams. I feel like those guys are special enough a type of players that you might see them. And if you're sitting at 23 and one of those three guys is still around, you're like, all right, this is worth trading up for. But beyond that, none of those guys
gone,
are worth
right?
trading. Yeah.
And say that one of these guys, you feel like I would take him. I'd rather take him early in the second round. But I think at that point, if you really want that player, it's risky. It's risky. And he said something to that effect as, all right, yeah, you could do something like that. And he wasn't talking about tackle specifically, but, you know, you feel like you have to look at the teams that are drafting after you, right, at the end of the first round, and what are they looking for?
Yeah, and are they looking to trade?
They do mock drafts for the other teams, you know. They do the best they can. By the way, wouldn't you love to see their mock drafts on the other teams?
That would be great.
Instead of some of these other guys, you want to see what the teams think the other teams are doing.
See, one of the things I struggle with when it comes to trading back is these athletes are all, like, unique and special in their own way, right? And so we can sit here and say, well, if Taylor, Dillard, and Williams are all gone, Cody Ford, who knows? Let's say there are 23, they have 23, they trade back to, I don't know, 33 or 34, like just outside of the first round. And they might be thinking, well, we like Dalton Risner and Yadni Kajusti and Titus Howard and some of these names that we've been hearing about.
I like that.
But what if those three guys are all the next three picks? And also, even if they like all three guys, there's a difference between Dalton Risner out of Kansas State and Titus Howard out of Alabama. Like, these are different. These are totally different human beings.
Right. And
you know what I mean?
That's what they discuss at all these meetings.
Yes.
You know, how
they're
would
all
these
different,
particular
man.
Individuals fit? And then is it worth it to take them there? My point is this, and maybe I went too far saying it, but when you, if you think a guy's worth it at early second round, at 23, go ahead and take him. If you think it's too risky to trade, just go ahead and take him. It's like in the 2014 draft. Quarterbacks are different. I think quarterbacks, you have a wider margin there. Like, if they really thought Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy in 2014, take him first pick in the second round.
Yes.
The world would have understood if Jimmy Garoppolo was a bust and you took him first pick in the second round. Be like, man, you took a flyer to quarterback and he turned out to be a bust. But if you hit it, that's a good spot to do it, right? And maybe they just felt like it wasn't worth it. Who knows what went down then? But I just think it's okay to take a guy early if you think it's he's a, you know, an eighth of a round to a quarter of a round later in value.
It's always seemed to me like the trade up is almost like, even though teams are all about analytics and projections and having their board and everything, a trade up feels like a gut move where, like, all right, this is the last guy that I like. Feeling my gut that I want in the first round. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a guy that I really...
Right.
Like, if Jonah Williams strikes me as a guy that people are going to have a gut feel about.
Right.
Like, all right, throw out all the measurables. This tackle from Alabama, this guy's just a football player. I know in my heart and my bones that this guy's going to be a good football player. I'll trade up for him. Versus some of these other guys were like, okay, he's a good prospect, but I'm not so sure about this guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, you feel
brutal.
Fine taking him, but...
It's like, look at how when they moved up to take certain guys, it didn't work out for them. Like Lewis Nix, right? Then they move up to take it. You know, like...
Yep, they did.
When you do that, and I can imagine wanting to do that because you're tired of guys you want, and you see, like, you're picking five picks later, and then somebody else gets
them. But you know what?
And you want them.
I'm glad you brought up Lewis Nix, because we were talking about this earlier with Rakyasin, the cornerback. And we're talking about difference between Rakyasin and Greedy Williams. And one of them seems to be that, like, anytime I talk to anybody about Rakyasin, they talk about his football character. Actually, I DM'd Daniel Jeremiah last night.
Okay.
And, like, I feel like Daniel Jeremiah has been higher on Rakyasin than anybody for a long time. But he mentioned his football character. And I look at, you brought up Lewis Nix. I don't think he had any football character. I don't know if he even liked football. And that draft in particular, there were a few guys like Brennan Williams where, like, I don't know if these guys even liked football. I think with Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, they care a lot about football character.
Yes.
They want dudes that want to go out there and bludgeon people and play football.
That won't be their issue.
And love football. And I think that's what I feel good about with Brian Gain. I think that he and Bill O'Brien are on the same page. I don't think you're going to get a Lewis Nix type character in the draft out of Brian Gain.
Well, people talk about that whole New England connection, but, you know, with Gain, you're looking at a Parcells disciple, which is a little bit different, right? I know Belichick came from the Parcells tree and all of that, but the fact that Gain worked in so many different organizations and has been in so many different draft rooms with different guys making decisions, I think that's wonderful for his experience.
I agree.
Just to see different ways of doing it.
Mark, Seth has said this week that at this point, think about the draft the last couple months and now heading into the final days here, 6 days away, he believes that the first pick has to be an offensive tackle.
I heard about this, Seth.
Did you?
I heard the promo, actually.
Oh,
I didn't hear
the actual
moment. But I will say this. Defense wins championships. No, defense, look at three of the classic Watson games that were losses. In 2017, New England, Seattle, and last year with Philly. If you make the big stop in any of those games. We're talking
Corey
about
Moore.
Epic game. What's that?
Corey Moore with the dropped interception.
I mean, you look at that one. You look at Seattle. Just make one stop. You look at Philly. If you make the stop at the end, that is an epic game we'll be talking about till the end of time, no matter what this franchise does from here on out. And I know what you mean. You have to protect Watson. You have to. You know, you got to do all of it. Right? It's hard to – but to me, it's like – What's more important, this or that?
Defense wins championships, except for the multitudes of times that teams with mediocre defenses have won championships. How many teams have stayed competitive for a decade with a quarterback who got injured for the last time his third year and never played again? I think
they're both important.
But one is vital.
It's like saying, is Jordan better than LeBron? Ooh, I listened to the last hour. Is Jordan better than LeBron? You're not saying the other guy sucks. You know, it's just you're not saying the other thing's that far down the list in importance. You're just saying that they're both important.
But
I think
absolute essential for long-term success.
I'm just saying that if the corner's there, you take the corner. Yeah. If the tackle's there, you take the tackle. If it's a tie, I don't know. You flip a coin.
And the long-term success side of things, I'm not advocating this, Seth, but I'm with Mark in this from this standpoint. Russell Wilson's still alive. Andrew Luck's still alive. Has it been great along the way? No. Are they going to play full, complete careers? I don't know. But if the Texans want to win now, I would like reinforcements at cornerback right away and the best reinforcements I possibly could get right away.
You have to reinforce cornerback. It's just look at the roster right now. You have to get help there. Not saying that if you don't draft in the first round, you're not going to get help, but you got to get help.
On the other hand, and you look at all these stats that show when in the rare times that Deshaun Watson has a clean pocket, his numbers are basically through the roof.
Right.
And I've maintained all offseason that you just put an average offensive line in front of him and that's all he needs with the talent that's around this guy.
But it's not just his health, it's his actual long-term development. And can he actually develop pro quarterbacking skills behind a decrepit offensive line? It's really hard to do. So
that's
where it starts right now. With Khalil and Chantrell Henderson, I don't even mean it as an insult. Like physically decrepit, their bodies have broken down continually over the last several years.
Using a literal term,
I don't trust their bodies to hold up.
I don't think they're banking on those guys either.
Right.
But that's where I am right now.
Like I'm not saying I don't want to be the guy that says none of these guys are ever going to be any good. Julian Davenport might develop, but at offensive tackle right now, there's nobody on the roster that I genuinely trust to be a good starter this year, either because of health reasons or whatever.
So a flyer.
I want to bolster our chance as much as possible.